Blog Talk Radio.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. We want to preach briefly on this subject this morning, how you should pray. How you should pray. As we find ourselves still in this pandemic situation, these past 3 months, if we haven't done anything else, we've become closer to God than if we've ever felt the need to pray. I'm quite sure that all of us have been praying these past 3 months. But we want to emphasize the fact that we have to make sure that when we pray as Jesus taught us how. But Jesus said, when you pray, go into your secret closet, and your Father who hears in secret will reward you openly. For all of us need a secret closet in our home, a place where we can get away from our daily activities and go and talk privately with God. Talk to God not just when the storms are raging, but we have to learn how to pray to God on a daily basis. So when the storms do come, and they come, we'll know that prayer will save our life. But Jesus here is teaching us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. We like to call this the Lord's Prayer. But technically, it's not the Lord's Prayer because he's not praying. What he's doing here, he's teaching us how to pray. Well, if you really want the Lord's Prayer, then you can look over John chapter 17 where he prayed you and I might be one. And then in Matthew, the 26th chapter, he prayed, Father, I pray that this cup would pass from me. But if it's the only way to satisfy your purpose is to drink this cup, then not my will, thy will be done. For this is not the Lord's Prayer. It's a model of prayer. This is Jesus teaching us how to pray. So in Matthew 6, verse 2, we hear Jesus say, when you give. And then in verse 5, we hear him say, when you pray. And then in verse 16, he says, when you fast. So we know from this passage of scripture, there are three things that Jesus expects his disciples to do. And that's to give, to fast, and to pray. He doesn't say if you give. It's not an option. It's an expectation. God expects all of his disciples to do it. He doesn't say if you fast. Because every disciple periodically needs to set some time aside that we're fasting to God, trying to develop and deepen our relationship with him. And then he says, not if you pray, but when you pray. So we're going to focus on prayers because Jesus is giving us a model, a pattern for prayer. And if you haven't paid attention to me over these past 25 years while I'm preaching, you need to pay attention now.
Yes, sir.
Don't ignore me this morning. Because Jesus is giving us the model for prayer. And so the question that we need to ask And Jesus, what does it take for our prayers to be effective and successful? Because a lot of us, we claim to pray, but we're not really praying. So Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father. Let's stop right there. Because before you start with asking God for his resources, you have to make sure that first and foremost, you have a proper relationship with God. See, it starts with Our Father, because most of us, we want to start with give us. But you're moving too fast. We like to skip over Our Father and get to verse 11, hallowed be thy name, give us. Most of our prayers start out like this. Give us a house, give us a car, give us some clothes, give us some money, give us a job, give us tuition. And there's nothing wrong, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with asking God to give you when you need something. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to tie into God's resources, you can't just stop, jump in to give me. No. You got to develop that relationship first. And then when you get the relationship right, it's no problem with God giving. And the only way to get that relationship with God right, you have to start with the Father. You have to believe and understand that Jesus died on the cross, that God raised him from the dead, and receive him by faith in your life. Then you can get that relationship right. Then God becomes your Father. You become his child, and it's not until that has taken place when you should utter from your lips, give us. People like to argue whether or not God hears a sinner's prayer. And I don't want to argue this morning about whether or not God hears a sinner's prayer. That's not what I want to argue about with you. But what I am going to argue about is, why are you asking God for his stuff and you don't want to have anything to do with it? And that's what I want to argue about. Because you don't want anybody to do that in your life. The only reason they're talking to you is because they want to get something from you. The only reason they come to you is to get the stuff. You don't even put up with that in your own life. Brothers, you don't want a woman in your life, and the only reason she's bothered with you is because of the money you make, or the car you drive, or the type of house you live in, or the influence you may have. You don't want to be bothered with a woman like that. You want that relationship first. And then if you and the sister can get the relationship right, then she can get the resources. And sisters, I know you don't want a brother laying on your couch, and the only reason he's there is because he needs a place to stay. Spending your money, driving your car while you ain't work, you wouldn't be putting up with that. But if the relationship was right, then there could be a sharing of the resources. But the relationship has to be in place first. And if you don't like being used like that, what makes you think God does? You just don't skip over God and start hollering about give us and never get around to establishing a relationship with him through his son, Christ Jesus, so he may become your Father. This is before give me a job, give me a house, give me a car, give me some money. You'll have to sanctify his name. The word tells us, holy will be his name. And if you want to pray in a manner that's effective, that will happen when you learn how to spotlight God's name. When you sanctify the name of God, holy will be your name. Let me ask you a question. When you're asking God for that house and that six-figure a year income, that second degree, whatever you were asking for, what was your intent for asking? What was your motive? What do you even want with it? And for most of us, we want those things so that we can establish a name for ourselves. I want a certain car, not that I need it for transportation or for the kingdom or for my community. I want it so people can look at me and ascertain that I am somebody. And the only reason I want God to give me certain clothes is that when you look at me, you can understand and realize that I am somebody. And I want a certain amount of money so that other people can look at me and believe that I'm a mover or a shaker. But God said, I'm not hearing that prayer. Because the only name that I am interested in is my own name. And when I say that, I know I offended quite a few people. Because we think that God wants to give us some fame and a name. But God isn't interested. Another day. Then it says he gives you pardon for your past. Jesus said, when you pray, Father, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I'm so glad that we serve a God who knows how to forgive. And watch, if you would, where forgiveness fits in our text. Give us this day our daily bread, then forgive us our debt. Watch where forgiveness fits in. Give us bread. Forgive our debts. And somebody is saying, Pastor, I don't have any bread. God didn't give me my fundamental basic need. Yes, he did give us bread. Then look what else he did. He forgave our debts. Debts come right behind the bread, because Jesus already knew that when God gives you bread, most of us are going to mismanage the bread and get in debt. Often my needs are not being met. When they're not, it's not because God didn't give me bread. It's because I mismanaged what God gave me. And God and Jesus, he put in the text provisions for forgiveness. Aren't you glad that you have a forgiving God? Aren't you glad that no matter what you've done in the past, God will let it go. He'll forgive you. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be preaching this morning except for forgive us our debts. Amen. If Jesus had not put that in the prayer, I couldn't share the gospel this morning. Amen. I wouldn't even be worthy to come to the house of God. And don't look at me funny, because you wouldn't have been able to come either. But he put in the prayer a provision of forgiveness. And no matter what you've done or where you've been, God forgives you. Forgive here means to dig a hole, then put sin in, bury it, cover it up, and walk away. Jesus says, when you pray, pray that God will dig a hole, put your sins in, cover it up, and walk away. Yes. Now you know God does that. Yes. And that's why I don't have to feel guilty about the things that God has forgiven me for. Because once God forgives me, I don't have to see it again, because he's dug a hole, buried it, and covered it up. But the problem most of us have is that we keep going back, digging that stuff up, this brother to God crying, this is why I can't serve you or do your will. And God is saying, what is it? What is that stuff doing out there? I've already buried that. See, when God forgives you, walk in your forgiveness. If God covers up, walk away from it. Then you, when you walk away from it, you learn how to forgive yourself. Father, forgive us as we forgive those who wrong us. Father, forgive our debts as we forgive those who dug dishes for us. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who stabbed us in the back. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have manipulated and used us. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have mistreated us. Don't go to God asking for forgiveness if you're not willing to forgive. You can't go to God asking for mercy if you're passing out judgment. If you want mercy for you, then you have to give it to somebody else. Because if you keep reading the text, it says, if you forgive others, then you will be forgiven. If you don't forgive others and hold on to that grudge, you will not be forgiven because you reap what you sow. And we don't like hearing that because we want the cross for ourselves. But we don't want it to extend it to somebody else. And I'm preaching this to somebody right now who needs to drop a grudge, saying, you don't know, Pastor, what they did. And that's true. I don't know what they did. But I also don't know what you did against God. And I guarantee you that whatever they did doesn't match up to what you've done to God. Oh, let me don't get stay in your business. Let me expose my business. Whenever any of you have done to me, all the backstabbers I come in contact with, your backstabbing doesn't measure up to what I've done against God. So I've got to learn how to forgive you in order for God to forgive me too. And so finally, God said, let it go, and you've got to let it go. Yes, and then, look how good God is. He gives us power for our journey. Yes. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. I don't want to face tomorrow without a God on my side. I'm going to face tomorrow, but I'm not jumping off a bridge or turning to drugs or alcohol. I'm going to face tomorrow. This world, I'm not going to do it by myself. I want our Father to lead me every step of the way. I just love how the text opens. It opens up with our Father. Amen. God is not like a deadbeat dad of our days and time. Our God is a provider, and He guides and leads His family. You don't have to face life by yourself. You need God to lead you because you don't know where the explosives are. But God does. You don't know where the landmines are. But God does. You don't know where the ditches are. But God does. You don't know where people are trying to trip you up, but God does. You don't know where the enemy is trying to pull you down, but God does. God is like a lamp unto our feet, a light in our pathway. The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord, and He will bless you. You don't have to face life by yourself because He forgives you and He leads you. There are many times when you're afraid to face certain situations, and your Father will hold you close, pick you up, and carry you through difficult times in order for you to get where you need to be, or heights you couldn't get to on your own. God delivers us from evil.
Amen.
He delivers us from evil.
Yes.
Evil is not just some inner disorder in us, but it's something and someone working on us.
Amen.
Jesus said, when you pray, don't forget that you have an enemy who's after you.
Yes.
The devil is that evil one, and he's real.
Yes,
don't start believing the philosophy of the world that the devil doesn't exist. That's a lie. Jesus said he exists. He exists. And then don't try to intellectualize him out of your life. He's real. And don't start blaming other folks for what the devil is doing in your life. Jesus said, when you pray, deliver us from the evil one. For the Bible says that he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not just trying to hurt your feelings or embarrass you or make you look bad in front of your family. He's trying to destroy you. When the enemy starts messing with your life, he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. When you allow the enemy into your marriage, he's not trying to embarrass you. He's there to kill, steal, and destroy. When the enemy starts messing with your kids, he's not just trying to embarrass you in front of your children. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. When he starts messing with your finances, he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And when you allow him to come into your church, he's not coming to embarrass you. He's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, pray. Deliver us from the evil one. And I love this. Because no matter what the devil throws at me, I know I've got the power to deal with it.
Amen.
The power of God is in me.
Amen.
This is the kingdom, power, and the glory. When we talk about the devil has some power, I don't know about that, because the Bible tells me God has all power. And if God has all power, that means the devil has no power, which means the devil and all of his demons in hell can't keep me from what God has for me. When God is leading and carrying and taking me to where I'm bound, nobody can stop me. So when you're praying, you're connecting to what God already has in store for your life. When you pray, once something enters into the mind of God, it's done already.
Amen.
When I'm praying by faith, I'm connecting to what God has already done. If I'm sick, if God has a healing for me in his mind, it's already done. My faith releases what God has already done. If God has a healthy family for me, my faith releases that. If it's in the mind of God, I connect my faith and it's already done. Let me close this. When movies come out, they always advertise that this movie will be out July 3rd or September 20th, they give you a release date, a date where the movie will be released so you can go see it. But mind you now, the movie is already done. They're just giving you a release date on when you can go see. The contracts have already been signed. The scripts have already been written. The actors have already acted the movie out. We don't see it when it's done. We see it on the release date. We see it when it's finished and complete, but we don't see it then. We see it when it's released. If God has a healing for you, the healing has already been done. You're just waiting on the release date. And you get that release date by having faith in what God has already done. Jesus has taught us how to pray. And if we pray to him and wait on him, he will provide. Do I have a witness? How do you know that God will provide whatever you need? Have faith in God and he will. He will. He will provide. God has already made a way for you. Just have faith that he has and it shall be done. Lord, teach us how to pray. Our Father, get that relationship right first. Then move down to give us. And how many of you know that God is in the giving business if you get that relationship right? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. 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 God.
I'm working, brother, this morning.
That was 50 minutes.
I did not see. Do this.
Yeah.
Do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.